Good morning. Please have a seat. Take this opportunity to welcome us all to this time of worship. And as we gather here this day, may the Spirit of the Living One who lives not only in us, but in the world, that same Spirit might infuse our gathering here this morning. As I'm looking through the congregation, I don't see anybody's face that I don't recognize, so that's good. And Sally's going to hide her face so we don't know she's here. But if you are visiting with us this morning, a very warm welcome to you. We're so glad you've found your way here to Cole Harbor Woodside United Church. And if this is your regular church home and you're here with us this morning, hey, great. We're glad to have you here too, because summer worship sometimes is a little quieter, but where two or three are gathered, we know that God's Spirit is here in this place. And so welcome. So as we gather this morning, I invite us to share together in the words of the acknowledgement of place. As we gather in this place, we remember with gratitude that we live and worship on lands that are by law the unceded territory of the Wabanaki peoples, predominantly the lands of the Mi'kmaq, Maliseet, and Passamaquoddy.
And we acknowledge the Mi'kmaq people and their stewardship of this land of the ages. Cole Harbor Woodside United Church is a safe place for all people to worship, regardless of sexual identity, race, creed, age, ability, cultural background, or sexual orientation.
And as we gather this morning, we light our Christ candle. For Christ is light. Christ is light in the world. Christ is light in our lives. And we are called to bear Christ's light and carry it to the world. We light a candle of peace, reminding ourselves that we are called to be peacemakers and peace bringers. We follow the Prince of Peace, and we seek to live in good and right relationships with our neighbors and with our entire human family. And we light a candle honoring those who serve. Those who serve in our armed forces, who go to places where we cannot go or would not go for the cause of peace, to bring a message of hope to those who feel hopeless. We honor those who are first responders, who are with us in our times of deepest need. Peace officers and firefighters, those who are EMTs and who work on our ambulances, nursing homes, hospitals, emergency rooms, all those who are there for us when we are in our time of deepest need, we hold them in our prayers and we honor their ministry. Let us sing this morning as we continue to begin to praise God, number 218 in Voices United, verses 2 and 3.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to God.
Let us give thanks.
Let us give thanks.
To the Lord, for the goodness of God.
To the goodness of God.
We give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray together. One who is the beginning, as our spirits awaken in this hour to the light of Christ in our midst, may that light shine among us in such a way that the darkness without and within may be pushed back, that we might truly see what is really real. May we see separation from you, O God, as the thing which is the source of pain and harm that occurs in our world. May we be enabled to truly see the world as you created it to be, as you created us to be, filled with light, filled with love, filled with all that is very good. We commit again that in our faith and in our lives, we will trust in your Spirit, and that we will move from darkness to light, from death to new life. We see your light within us shine through into worship this day, as all days. This we pray in the name of the one who knows as the Word made flesh, the light of all creation. May it be so. Amen. And our opening hymn this morning is 352, I Danced in the Morning. Our first reading this morning is the prologue of the Gospel according to John, verses 1 to 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning, and through the Word all things were made, and nothing was made without the Word. In the Word was life, and that in that life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now there was a man from God whose name was John, and he came to testify concerning the light so that all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone that was coming into the world. He was in the world, although the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who did receive him and those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent or human decision, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen its glory and the glory of the one who is the Son, the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then Paul writes in his first letter to the church in Corinth, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know God, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to those who do believe." May we in the church hear what the Spirit speaks to us through these words of our sacred scriptures. Amen. And I have a time with the children who are here this morning. Do you want to come up to the front? Spend some time on the mat here. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you this morning? Good. Good. How are you? Come on in nice and close. There we go. There's only a few of us. Lots of room. Lots of room. So, I am wondering, what are you? What are you? What are you? You're a person, okay? What about you? What are you? You're a person too? What are you? A person? What are you? A person? And what are you? A person. What are all these people out here? Are they persons too? They're all people? Everybody? Anyone out here not a people? Nope. Everybody's claiming to be people. You know what I think you are? I'm not sure I'm going to tell you right away, but I want to show you something. What do you think this is? What do you think that is? What does it look like? A magnifying glass. I can't really see through it, though. Good guess. What do you think it is? A speaker. Hello.
Hello.
No, not working. What do you think it is? A miniature garbage can? Could be, kind of like one of those ones in the kitchen where you step on it and the lid pops up. Nope, that lid's not popping up. Good guess, though. What do you think it is? It's got a handle on it. Maybe it's a backpack for going to very small school. No? What do you think it is? A box? This is light. It's light. Do you want me to show you how it's light? Here we go. It's a light. Yeah. It's a light. And you can see in the dark with it. Yeah. You would be surprised how bright this is in a dark tent. It really does light things up. Yeah, it's that bright, isn't it? Oh, there we go. Oh, now there we go. Thanks, Ron. Look at that. See how bright that is? Wow, I can see it reflecting way out there into the congregation. When it's dark outside, completely dark, this is a really bright light. So just like we didn't know that this was, you were a little doubtful that this was light, right? Yeah. Oh. I know that you and you and you and you and you and all of you and all of you are light. That's right. We're all light. We're God's light in the world. God's light lives in us and in our hearts, in our spirits, and in the way in which we treat other people, the way in which we talk to other people and live with other people and share with other people. When we do that, we're showing people that God is light in the world and that God's light is love and caring and hope and peace and all those wonderful things. So next time when we're feeling kind of, because we all have days where we're kind of, we just want to pull the covers up over our heads and not ever get out of bed because we're just feeling really kind of, we can remember that just like the surprise of the light of this flashlight, this lantern, we are light in God's world as well. And when we trust in God and we walk close to God, then God's light shines through us into the world. Yes, we can glow in the dark too, I bet. As light, we could glow in the dark. We could be God's light in the dark. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hard, huh? Brothers can be tough. I know. I got three of them, and they're all younger than me. So, but we have to try and live together in God's light and reflect God's light in the world, right? Yeah. God creates light in all kinds of things. Yeah, that's what we read in the Bible this morning, was that Jesus was God's light in the world. And we, like Jesus, can be God's light. Okay? That's right. And Jesus helps us, and God helps us as well. Yeah. Let's have a little prayer. And I'll say, thank you, God, for your light. For your light in the world. For the light in Jesus. And the light in me. Help me to shine your light. In all the world. Amen. All right. Well, this song asks us not just to shine. This one asks us to shout. We're going to shout, shout, shout out our love for Jesus. Okay? Let's stand up and let's have a song. and there is some programming upstairs for you this morning, or you can stay down here with the folks who brought you. Yeah. Pause with me for a moment of prayer. O God, in whose name we have gathered here this day, may the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts find their source in you, our rock and our strength and our light. In Christ we pray. Amen. This week, in reading from the beginning of the Gospel of John, Carl Jacobson, who I referenced last week with our little Hebrew lesson, has something to say about a little bit of Greek as well. I'm not going to throw the words at you like I did last week up on the screen, but it is interesting to note that much like the Hebrew, the Greek does not have or doesn't generally use a definite article or an adverb. So the word "the" doesn't show up in the prologue to John's Gospel. So if we were to try and transliterate those first few words of John, it would be, "In beginning, God's Word." In beginning, God's Word. God's Word and God. Interesting. We aren't sure what exactly the makeup of this community around which John's Gospel is written. But likely it is a proto-Christian community made up of Jews and Greeks coming together around this particular community. And likely at the time when John's Gospel is written, more and more non-Jewish people are coming into the community. Non-Jewish backgrounds are making up a large part, a larger and larger part of the community. And so these people are coming into the community not knowing the Genesis story that we read last week. It's not part of what they would have heard in the world around them. So they don't have a grounding in the faith in that foundational story that talks about God and God's actions at the very beginning. And so I think biblical scholars would agree that the Gospel of John begins by setting this foundation. In beginning, God was, and God's Word was. It's important to lay that foundation out so that they can understand throughout the rest of the gospel as they begin to hear it, just who this person Jesus is, this Word of God. Clearly, for the Johannine community, Jesus was God's Word, the light of God. And the further we read along in John's gospel, Jesus was God. But we have to remember, those people are coming in without that understanding of who God is in that Hebraic way. Now, to Christians today, that statement is sort of a fait accompli. There were many then, as there are today, though, who still struggle with the divinity of Jesus and how that relates to the identity of God. And if you come out tomorrow night to Coffee and Tea with me, the Rev, we can have a conversation about the divinity of Jesus if you'd like. Little plug there. In his book, An Audacious Invitation, the former moderator of the United Church of Canada, Walter Farquharson, he creates kind of a poem that shows the opening of John's gospel in a paraphrase. And I think it's on the screen there. Jennifer was going to put it on for me. Is it there, Ron? Yes. So this is Walter Farquharson's poem, if you will. In the beginning was the Word. The Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was in the beginning with God. With God. All things came into being through the Word. All things. What has come into being in the Word was life. Life. And the life. The life was the light of all peoples. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness. The darkness does not overcome it. In the beginning, the Word. This creates an interesting and I found a rather enjoyable interplay between the words light and word and life. I think that this poetic approach is a great way for us to think about how we might hear what the author of John is trying to share with us. I think that the author is hearing the words of Genesis in their mind and understands that when God brings each item, thing, and each moment of creation, God doesn't do any sort of action. God doesn't point a proverbial finger and say, and it comes into being. God doesn't take two things and mash them together into one. Well, except in Genesis 2 with the creating of people, but that's a different creation story, and we're not dealing with that this morning. God says, let there be. and it comes into being. Let there be light. And there's light. Just because God speaks the word, the thing, the item, the moment comes into being. That is God's creative act. It is God's word that brings things into being, John, the author of John's gospel, recognizes. And John says, all things came into being because God spoke it. Through God's word, the word from God, everything came into being. And not one thing came into being that God did not speak. What has come into being in God's word is life, and the life was the light that is part of all people. That's my paraphrase. So for this fledgling community that came into being around the Gospel of John, they're called to recognize, to realize that the Word of God that they find in Jesus is the same Word that existed at the very moment of creation. It is the same Word that exists among them. It is the same Word that brings us into being. The word that they have in them, the word that we have in us is light. The word that we have in us is life. The word that we have in us is God. And they bear that light to the world. Whether we recognize it or not, that is our call. Whether our Christology is very high, that Jesus is divine and God in God and God of God, or our Christology is low, Jesus is as much of God as can possibly be contained in a human life, the basis is the same. The word that God speaks is the source of all that was, all that is, and all that ever will be. And there are many around us who would look at the work and at the world around us and remark, the world's going to heck in a handbasket. Which I admit does certainly feel true at times. But, and with God there is always a but. There is always a but. But, if we who are concerned about what's happening in the world, if we don't want the world to go to heck in a handbasket, if we're only willing to sit on the sidelines and shake our heads and wring our hands, how will things ever change? If God's word in us does not move, how does God's word get heard? Although attributed to other people, John Stuart Mill wrote, "The bad need nothing more to compass their ends than that the good should look on and do nothing." John Kennedy referenced that in one of his speeches. The only thing that badness or evil needs to triumph is that the good sit by and do nothing. If we say that we have the light of God and the word of God within our hearts and within our spirits, then we are called, like Jesus, to touch the unclean, to eat with the outcast, to share with the unlovable, to call to account those who will not care for others, who will not feed, who will not clothe, who will not visit, who will not comfort. We have a responsibility as people of faith. We must be about the work of the light in the world and to assure that even in the midst of the darkness of life going to heck in a handbasket, that the light of God continues to truly illuminate all people, that each might shine that light. into the world. The light that we find in Jesus, the light that we find in Miriam and Moses, the light that we find in Ruth and Esther and the prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, in the Buddha, in Julian of Norwich and Nellie McClung and Viola Desmond, and in all untold number of people of faith and no faith at all who know that there is light within humanity and it is meant for us to shine for humanity. We name the light God. We follow the light in Jesus, the messenger of God, the Messiah of God, the Christ of God. Our message, though, and we only need to look at the world around us that's going to heck in a handbasket, our message that there is light in people, our message that there is hope in the world, our message that there is love in God seems like foolishness, Paul wrote to those who would deny that there is light. But that word, Paul wrote, is salvation to us, those who know the truth and who can share that truth with others. I asked at the end of my sermon last week, where will the light of God that resides in us as individuals and in this community of faith called Cole Harbor Woodside United Church, where will our light shine next? Where will our light shine in the days and in the months to come? Where will those who think that hope is foolish look to us and see God's light? That is the call. That is the ongoing call for every Christian community of faith, for every one of us as individuals. Where will our light shine? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. May it be so. Amen. Are there announcements that folks need to share this morning or would like to share? Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Congratulations. A great grandchild. A great grandmother six times. Wow. Congratulations. Wonderful. That's wonderful to celebrate. Other announcements? From the announcement slide, I just want to hold up a couple. As I said, coffee, tea, and me with me, the Rev, tomorrow night, 6:30, up in the upper meeting room. If there's a topic you want to bring to talk about, come on out. If there's something you just want to hear, come on out. It's very informal. I have things tucked in my back pocket that we can talk about, but we've never, ever gotten to them in any of the meetings we've had. People always bring really neat things to question, to wonder, and to talk about. So it's fantastic that way. So tomorrow night, 6:30. Many of our programs and such will be starting up again in that first week or two in September. Things like Bible study and that. So please do have a look at the announcements as Jennifer sends them out. If you don't get them, give Jennifer a call and she can get you onto email. And if you need a hard copy, again, just let Jennifer know and she's happy to accommodate in that way. Mentioned last week, they're collecting new men and women's underwear for the shelter that's been opened up at Sun Life Church in downtown Dartmouth on Windmill Road. Their homeless shelter is opening up there and is being utilized, and so they're looking for that piece of clothing. Other clothing has been fully donated, but those sorts of things are bits of clothing that those who would need shelter are often in deep need of. Sunday school registration will begin on September the 8th, and that's the same Sunday when the service times will change. We'll begin our 9:30 chapel service and our 10:30 family service. And then on the 15th, we will be having our blessing of the backpacks. So if you have young people who will be heading off to school, we'd love to be able to be there, bring their backpacks, and we'll offer a blessing on that Sunday. We did have a couple of things that were begun over the winter this last year that we're hoping to pick up, but we need some help. So the contemplative spiritual practice on Monday nights that Kim began called Unplugged. It is planned for the entire year, but we're looking for someone to help coordinate. Someone who would be willing to call the person who has their name down and just say, is there anything you need? Can we have anything set up for you? How can we get the doors unlocked and everything for you? But we need someone to do that. If you would do it, or if you know someone who could do that, the list is compiled. The phone numbers and contacts are all there. You're not having to go out and find anyone. It's just a matter of being that point person for that particular ministry. And it was a ministry that reached out into the community beyond Coal Harbor Woodside. So if that's something you think you could do, could you give Jennifer or myself a call in the church office sometime through the week? Share that information with friends and family and just let them know. Maybe someone out there is willing to do it. I'm hoping, and it seems like there is some interest anyway in my travels with Flat Jesus. I've been getting wonderful comments and such on Facebook and on Instagram. If you're not following us on Facebook and Instagram, have a look follow our adventures. And when you do see things on our Facebook page or on Instagram, really encourage people to share them, because you never really know. We have had people who have seen our Facebook page or our website who have found their way to Coal Harbor Woodside United Church, did not know that there was a church like this out there. So it's a tool. I know not a lot of us are real happy with social media at times, but it's a tool that we can use for outreach and for evangelization. And so if that's something you can do when you're on Facebook, hit that like button and hit that share button with your friends. That would be great. Those are the announcements that I needed to share. Back to my... So Cindy, for a minute, for a moment for mission.
Reconnecting families with community. Our gifts for mission and service support the work of healing and reconciliation. Here is a story of how the church's healing fund is uplifting a healthy, unified Gitxsan Nation. Gitxsan Nation is a First Nations community in British Columbia that has challenges stemming from the impact of Indian residential schools. One is the loss of traditional parenting, usually transferred from grandparents and parents to children. This loss has contributed to the community's social issues, such as unhealthy relationships, social isolation, substance use, and crime. In spite of these challenges, the Gitxsan Nation envisions health and wellness growing stronger among its people. The Healing Continues project is a holistic program designed to teach families traditional parenting skills, provide cultural, psychoeducation, grief, stress reduction, etc., and help them participate in ceremonies on the land. Elders conduct home visits to support the families, model traditional parenting, and provide mentorship. Community services are also contributing to the project by training their workers to offer experiential land-based healing. In using the Gitxsan healing model, based on the community's knowledge and practices, Gitxsan Nation is reconnecting families with their community to reduce isolation and stress and help them learn healthy behaviors and traditional parenting. If mission and service giving is already a regular part of your life, thank you so much. If you have not given, please join me in making mission and service a regular part of your life of faith. Loving our neighbor is at the heart of our mission and service.
Thank you, Cindy. In that spirit, then, we present our gifts and our offerings. Let us pray together the offering prayer this morning. Divine love, in this part of our world we are gifted with much. Having much, we know we are called to give for others. Give in body, in spirit, and in treasure. With these limited funds in our plates and through par, limitless things are done. May we ever strive beyond our limitations, choose beyond our immediate needs, and live into each day the fullness of opportunity for others as well as ourselves. As ones born of light and walking into light, we pray. May it be so. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat. Invite us to join our hearts, minds, and spirits together in prayer. Holy One, in you we bear light. In you there is the light of all creation. In your word all things have come into being, and in your word this community has come into being. We have gathered here this morning. We've gathered as your faithful people to hear words from our sacred scriptures, to share in songs of praise, to hear the wisdom of children, to see the light of your love in all our hearts and eyes, to make our offerings for the work of this congregation and the churches and ministries that we share around the world. That is an awful lot to pack into an hour. And so now, after the busyness of the early part of our worship this day, we pause. We pause and we listen for you and for your Spirit. We pause as Elijah paused, listening. Listening for that still, small voice that speaks to us, beckons to us, calls to us. Come from death into life. Come from darkness into light. Come into being in me. And we step forward into light, knowing we are called to be your people, to share in the joys and the sorrows of those who are part of this community, to share in the cares and the concerns, to hold in prayer friends and loved ones and strangers alike. This we do as we name Carolyn and Chris and Gary and Beth, and Hannah and Nancy and David and Faith and Dorothy, and Simon and Sean and Richard, Eric, Hunter, Barbara and Gary, Joy, Marie, Donna, Heather, Wayne, Suzanne, Della and Reg, Lloyd and Neil and Millie and Matilda, those whose names are offered here, those whose names are in our hearts, and those whose names are known to you, and you alone, our God. May your Spirit rest upon them. May your Spirit walk beside them. May your Spirit comfort and guide them. And may your Spirit move us to places where we might offer to walk beside, to care and support, to love and to serve. Be with each one of us, O God, in our struggles and in our joys, in the uncertainties and in the ways in which we find clearness in front of us. Walk with us in our own illnesses, in mind, in body, and in spirit. Create within us community, that we might be foolish in the eyes of the world, but know that your light is our salvation, that this community is the balm in Gilead which soothes us and allows us to serve in your world. All of our prayers we offer this day in the name of the one who taught us that we might pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, Our closing hymn this morning, As a Fire Is Meant for Burning. A blessing. We are God's blessing in the world. God's blessing is in us. We are blessed by the world. Why? Because God's light and love and life flow through every atom, molecule, particle that flows around the entirety of the universe. We are not alone. We live in God, and we are called to go out into the world and be that light that God has created us to be. So let it be with us and in the world. Amen. One more time. You're waiting for this to change. Go now in peace.